Please be seated.
Well, I know that those of you who have kids, that the excitement is building in your houses, and we've got it in our place, mostly from my daughters, but some of it vicariously from me and Jesse and Bubby over there, or their grandmother. When I was a kid, I felt that excitement directly, that anticipation that they're feeling. And at that age, to me, the Christmas Eve church service was just a bump in the road that I had to drive over to get to Christmas morning. We get to church at 10:30 to get seats for a service that started at 11. And otherwise, you wouldn't get a seat. There were that many people there, or hundreds of people there. And we get out of there after midnight. And there isn't much that happened between when I sat down and when we went home that I can actually remember. Because usually, I went to sleep in the pew. Well, the next morning, we get up, even more excited, but our parents wouldn't let us come downstairs until our rooms were clean. My father would actually tie a ribbon across the landing at the bottom of the stairs, and we couldn't come down until our rooms had passed my father's inspection. And then, the best part, each of us had presents under the tree, and each of us had a stocking with treats in it. But there was also a chair for each of us in the living room that was covered with other treats, the ones that were too small to wrap but too big or awkward to put in the stocking. And we could dive into the stockings and look through the stuff on the chairs immediately, but the presents my parents handed around one at a time to each kid in succession, and we would take turns opening them until they were all unwrapped. Well, somewhere, usually on the chair, there was often a foil package the size of a small brick with a ribbon around it and a little note. Eventually, between the really good presents, I'd pick it up. And my parents would smile, hopefully, the way parents do when they're trying to convince kids that they're about to get something good when they know the kid isn't going to like what comes next. And it doesn't ever work, but still, we do it, just as our parents did before us. There I would be, surrounded by wonderful presents and this brick, this foil-wrapped building material masquerading as a gift. And I'm talking about the fruitcake that my grandmother would send to us almost every year. And I didn't know very many kids who liked fruitcake. I certainly wasn't one of them. My mom said one time that these cakes keep for a really long time, which wasn't really a selling point for me. But a lot of parents must have said the same thing to their friends, because my best friend and I used to theorize back then that there were only a few thousand fruitcakes in the whole world, and that everyone who got one just passed it on uneaten to someone else the next Christmas. And we even speculated about how long the fruitcakes that we were getting had been in circulation. Decades? Centuries? Had we just received a fruitcake that once long ago a young, disappointed Thomas Jefferson had found under the tree one Christmas morning? And I know now that Christmas fruitcake takes a lot of time and planning to make. Months to soak the fruit in brandy or rum, hours to prepare and bake the cake, weeks or months longer to age the cake, brushing it with spirits periodically until it's ready to eat around Christmas. You have to think of this months ahead of time to give that thing to someone on Christmas Day. And I know now that even though young me wanted nothing to do with it, even though my own parents only wanted a bite or two, that it's really not that bad. I don't really want it, but I can eat it and even enjoy it a little. It makes me think of my childhood and my grandmother, who really did love me in spite of the fact that I got fruitcake from her and not a new model airplane or a locomotive from my model railroad. And perhaps one day I'll develop a real taste for it. After all, I like all the stuff that goes into it. Rum, fruit, spiced cake. I guess the reason that even now I don't truly like fruitcake is that on Christmas morning it seems out of place among the presents that we're all anticipating with eagerness. I wonder now how I got to that point when the thing that took months of thoughtful planning, love, and work was the part of Christmas that I appreciated least. And I suppose the world around me taught me to like different flavors than people used to like. I remember a night when, in my 20s, after years and years of not going, I went to a church alone at 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and I heard the story again, the one we heard tonight, where the baby is born and laid in a manger, where the angels say to the shepherds out working, not expecting a visit from God's messenger, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, most people, probably even the shepherds in the story, don't think about God that much. It had been so long since I thought about God that the story took me by surprise. I was surprised, I guess, that it was so familiar to me. I hadn't heard it in so long. And somehow, in ways I didn't yet fully understand, it meant something to me. A gift from another time, when people had a taste for something different, I suppose. Tomorrow we'll all have something under the tree, I'm sure, and we'll open the gifts, and ooh, and ah, and the memory of tonight will probably have faded for most of us, particularly our children, but the fact will remain. What seems like the least important parts of Christmas in our minds are, in fact, the ones that one day we'll realize were the most important. My grandmother loved us enough to think about us months before Christmas morning. And what she gave us wasn't a toy that we'd forget in a couple of hours or a day or two, but something that people of her generation looked forward to for months. Except that by the time I was old enough to celebrate Christmas, most of the people had lost their taste for treats such as fruitcake. Part of me prays that one day I'll come to appreciate it. I'll not only tolerate a bite or two around Christmas, but come to savor it and look forward to it and all that it represents. It is still good news of great joy for all people that we celebrate here tonight, and it is true that many people, like teenaged me and young adult me, have lost their taste for that good news and the church that proclaims it. We've lost the sense that from the very moment that human beings first began to twist the world out of shape, hurt one another, hurt themselves, God has been seeking us out, planning and working to bring us back into his loving arms. And some people can't abide the taste of places like this at all. And some can taste it now and again and don't really mind it. And that's all right. Wherever your palate is, we've all been taught to like different flavors, strong, mass-produced treats wrapped in plastic. And they're easy to produce, they're cheap, and they're plentiful, so it's no surprise that what we eat 364 days a year is that stuff. Why would we want fruitcake? Why on earth would we want this? And perhaps it's foolish of me to suppose that anyone wants for Christmas what churches like this offer. I suppose I inherited my foolish nostalgia from my grandmother, but I hope that for some of us, tonight will be the beginning of a new period in our lives, a time when we begin to understand just how much God loves us, and that the thing that seems so out of touch, the thing that seems to be a holdover, a quaint, outdated, unlooked-for gift, next to all the wonders that we'll find wrapped under the tree, was in fact the thing that we needed most. That is why Jesus was born to us, was born for us. Christmas was the beginning of life for Jesus, and it can also, even today, be our moment of rebirth. Christmas can be our new beginning. When we start to know Jesus truly and live in his love and healing, and it might not happen suddenly. It might grow inside of us as Jesus himself grew from the baby in the manger into the Messiah, Savior, and King. It might become something finally that if we didn't have it Christmas morning, whatever was under the tree, that the day would mean nothing to us. And it might not be tomorrow morning, when that realization dawns upon you. But I pray that one day the sun will rise on Christmas morning and that foil-wrapped, antiquated Christmas Eve service that you went to the night before will be the first thing that you think about, and that you too will give thanks for the great gift that God has given to all people and to you. Merry Christmas.